Welcome to the broadcast of Riverside Church in Princeton, North Carolina. Riverside Church preaching Christ and Him crucified. For more information, check out our website at www.riversidefwb.com.
As we look in Luke chapter number 18 this morning, we'll be picking up in chapter number 18, verse number 1, reminding you this morning that we choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. It reports supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of prophecy. It's divine, not human in origin. We here at the River believe in the five solas of the Reformation. The first being sola scriptura. No, I didn't speak in tongues. If you think I'm speaking in tongues, be here this afternoon as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as we talk about tongues. And I invite you to be here because it's the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. Amen, somebody. That this morning, I'm reminding you that we believe in sola scriptura, a Latin phrase that means the Bible and the Bible alone. We don't need the Watchtower, the Book of Mormon, the phone book. We don't need the Bill of Rights. We don't need anything else. We don't need a personal revelation or a dream. We have the Bible and the Bible alone. That's good enough. We also believe in sola fide, a Latin phrase, once again, that means faith and faith alone, that we're saved by faith and faith alone. Only faith in something and confidence in something, really the something is a someone, and that's sola Christus, a Latin phrase, that means Jesus and Jesus alone, just Jesus. Don't you're not saved by Jesus plus your tithing record. You're not saved by Jesus having faith in Jesus and your baptism. You're not saved by Jesus and your church attendance. You're saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. And you notice I use the phrase saved, and that's where we get the phrase sola gratia. And that's a phrase that's Latin, and it stands for grace and grace alone. That you're saved simply by grace. If you go to work on Monday, you work till Friday, you earn a wage because that's the wage that we expect. But the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The only thing we've earned is wrath. But grace is not like the wage. Grace is given to us. Grace is bestowed upon us. And that gives God glory, because who will make much of God but the one who's been receiving grace? And that's where we get the Latin phrase sole Deo gloria, a Latin phrase that means God alone receives the glory. He receives the glory of the preaching and the teaching today. He receives the glory of you paying attention and taking notes or taking mental notes of what's being spoken about today in the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 18. If you remember last week when we spoke about Luke chapter number 17, we tied up all the loose ends in chapter number 17, 20 on to the very last verse, verse 37. We spoke about how that text was actually took out of context quite often, as many people were expecting a tribulation period, Apache helicopters and FEMA camps and marks of the beast. But we spoke about putting that in context, and even the very last part of that chapter is what really sealed the deal for me personally as a pastor and as a Christian. And we look in verse 37 of chapter 17, and they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." And if you have a King James this morning, we spoke about how that translation is more accurate to what Jesus said when he said, "When you see the eagles, you'll know that's where the corpses are." And we know in 70 AD, whenever the Romans marched on Jerusalem, their signa was the eagle, because that was the symbol of Rome. So Jesus was saying the fall of Rome is when the Son of Man will cause recompense to fall on Jerusalem for the forsaking of Jesus Christ. So we're not speaking about a future in chapter number 17, a future tribulation, but we're looking at history in Luke chapter 17, whenever Jesus prophesied 40 years before it took place. And he actually tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 that he tells us that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. But now Jesus starts to change gears in chapter number 18. If you have it this morning, I do encourage you to open God's Word and not take my word for it. I really want you to be a Berean. For those who study your Bible, you know that those are the ones that Paul, when he taught and preached there at the city of Berea, they were the Bereans. They were noble. They were those who studied the Scriptures. And when Paul stood before the Christians there, he preached God's Word. However, they fact-checked Paul. And I'm no better than Paul. Paul is much better teacher-preacher than I am. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and they checked up on what Paul preached. And I expect you, as an attender and a member, to check up on what the preacher preaches. To look and study the Scriptures and see what I'm saying is true. And if I'm saying something true, go amen, because it makes the preaching better. Thank you. I figure somebody's paying attention. But this morning, as we look in Luke chapter number 18, be a Berean. Do your homework. Study God's Word. This should not be the only time you open God's Word. This is daily bread. It's not cake for special occasions. Amen, somebody. As we look in Luke chapter number 18, Jesus continues. He says, He told them a parable to the effect that they should always, to pray and not lose heart. Jesus tells them about this parable, but here He doesn't do like He does in other parables. He actually tells them the focus and the point of this parable. He tells them that they should always pray and not lose heart. How many will be honest this morning? I've lost heart before. I've lost hope. I've stopped praying before. Maybe you've stopped praying recently. Maybe you're not praying now. Maybe you have just decided to take the situation into your own hands and take a hold of your destiny yourself. To be like you're playing chess and move different pieces as strategy to try to get around in life. Taking your initiative and ambition into yourself and not depending on God any longer. This text and this verse, the verses that we'll cover this morning in Luke chapter 18, 1 through verse 8 is for you. To encourage you to pray. He tells us this parable to help us to always pray and not lose heart. No matter if you're watching the news recently, I try to keep my eye on what's coming around the corner. They're talking about a resurgence of COVID coming up in September. Like they're already speaking about it, like it's fact, it's part of the script. That's what we're getting ready to face. Whether you're looking at the economy, whether you're looking at the elections coming up, maybe that's why COVID's coming back, I don't know. But as we look at what's coming around the bend, as we look at the uncertainty in the world, as we look at our relationships and our families, here we have to get our hearts set and not lose heart. We must defend our hearts because it's the wellspring of life. We must focus and believe in something, not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, but have hope and believe that God is able to help us in our time of need. That's why He says, I'm going to give you a parable that you ought to always pray and not lose heart. Somebody really needs to hear this morning, because you're losing heart. You're losing faith and hope. You're losing hope in that relationship. You're losing hope in your church. You're losing hope in yourself. You're losing hope. So Jesus tells us in verse number 2, He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. This man was godless. This man did not love God nor did he love man. He had no fears. He had no respecter of persons, let alone the sovereign God of all the creation. In verse number 3, Jesus continues, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him saying, give me justice against my adversary. This widow who was in a position where she could not leverage this judge, this official, this person who was strong. He actually is almost a contemporary of many of the politicians that we know today. They don't fear God and they don't fear anybody else. It's really how they can line their pockets. Really, they're selfish. They want to do what's good for them. They're into politics, and politics usually doesn't look out for the little man. Usually the ones who are north of Richmond, the rich man up there, they're usually the ones that are looking out for themselves. And that's an analogy that we see here about this judge who is unjust, and He's put in a position where He can give justice to people. But really, He's going to look out for number one. But this widow who cannot twist His arm, cannot influence Him, she keeps begging Him, Give me justice against my adversary. Let us not forget the point of this parable is to make sure that we pray and we don't lose heart. But right now we see a heartless judge. And we see a woman who's being tread upon, who's being used and abused. So we see verse 4, for a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, "Self, though I never fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." The judge is self-centered. The judge wants his own comfort. That's his main focus. He's a judge. He's in politics. He's not looking out for anybody else. However, Jesus uses this analogy to say that this judge, even in his self-centeredness, says, "I'm going to listen to this woman. My goodness, she's just beating me down with her continual coming to me." What he is saying here is that even in the self-centeredness of the wicked judge, he will deviate justice. He will hear her case. He says, "I will give her justice," in verse 5, "so she will not beat me down in continual coming." In verse number 6, "And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says." Jesus says here, listen to what the unrighteous judge is thinking as he is unrighteous. He's looking out for himself. He doesn't love anybody. He certainly doesn't love the widow. He doesn't respect or honor God. But listen to what he says. "I'm going to give her justice as she continues to come to me." This morning, I want to let you know in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus is not comparing the unrighteous judge to the judge of all the earth. They are to be, even though this unrighteous judge is in his position, we have a righteous judge who is above it all. And how much more will he hear our cries? How much more the one who is the lover of our soul, as we read in the book of Solomon's, as Song of Solomon, he says, "He is the lover of my soul." The one who has inscribed our name on his hands, as we read in the book of Zechariah. The one who sings over us once again in Zechariah. The one who beckons us to come to him, as we read in Isaiah chapter number 6. "Even though our sin is like scarlet, it will be made white as snow." He tells us here that this unrighteous judge gives justice. How much more will the righteous judge give to his people? In verse number 6, "And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cried to him night and day? Will he delay long over them?" I'm going to ask you this morning, have you stopped praying? Have you stopped asking God? Maybe you're thinking this morning that God has got other things on His mind. Or maybe He's moving too slow for you. Maybe He's not moved quick enough. Maybe you just slipped your mind and you're not praying over that lost one anymore. Maybe you're not praying for strength for the journey anymore. Maybe you are so zapped and you can't even pray anymore. Let me remind you that when you can't pray, He prays over you. Y'all remember? Y'all remember? I know you do. You remember in the book of Romans that when our spirit groans with words that are too deep for utterance, that the Spirit prays over us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. That He cries and prays over. When you can't pray, you're all done. "I can't pray. I can't even cry anymore. I ain't got it in me no more. I don't even know what to do." But we have an advocate with the Father, is what the Bible says, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we know that He's not in a junior throne. That Jesus is not in a high chair beside God. He's in a throne beside God, shoulder to shoulder, part of the Holy Trinity. And they're having a conversation, and He speaks over His elect. The elect are His people, His people. He prays over them. He says, "That one's mine. I died for him. I redeemed him by my blood. Will we not give him strength? Will we not hold them and steady them through it all? Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God." Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That He is our mediator. And He prays over us. So this morning, if you ain't got a prayer in you,
thank you, Lord.
He prays over you. Amen. But this morning, I wonder, have you stopped praying altogether? because you think God's unjust. You stop talking to God about the situation. God, help me with my roommates. Help me with my finances. Help me with my mind. Help me with this addiction I just can't kick. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. God, it's like you forgot me. Lord, I'm in a valley. I feel like my enemies are surrounding me. And Lord, don't leave me here alone. Even though they encamp around me, I feel like they're stepping on. You don't even pray like that anymore because you don't read Psalms. That's what David prayed like. Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped asking? Have you stopped asking for the salvation of your loved ones because you don't think God's able? It's one thing to believe in God. Even the devils believe in God. Even demons believe in God. But do you believe God? That He hears you when you pray? Listen to me. If I could hold you down and beat this into you, I would. But the deacons look down on that. They don't allow me to do that. But if you just ask Him again. Ask Him again. I asked Him yesterday. Have you asked Him again? Have you asked Him to help you to forgive again? Have you asked Him to give you strength again? Have you asked Him to give you peace that you cannot find in a bottle or syringe? Have you asked Him again? Have you asked Him again? I'm going to ask you, have you asked Him again? Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not the God give justice to the elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay over them? Maybe it's not in your timing. Maybe you have asked Him. And finally you say, well, I'm going to ask Him one time. Maybe you ain't desperate enough. Because if I was starving, I'm going to ask for that cheeseburger over and over. I'll ask for a crumb, whatever, give it to me. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to aggravate you. But if you remember the text we opened service with, in the book of Jude 24 and 25, He actually says that He's able to keep you and He does it with joy. That text tells me He keeps you and He's happy to do it. Did you know this morning that God is more willing to give you than you're willing to ask?
Thank you.
He's more willing to help you than you're willing to ask. He went more willing to the cross to die for sinners than Christians are willing to go to church on Sundays. Ooh, that hurt my toes. Did it hurt you? Yeah. He says here that the unrighteous judge gave justice to this widow, even though he was a pagan, he was wicked, self-centered. How much more would the God of all creation, who loves you and redeemed you by the blood of Jesus, how much more will He do for you? Just ask Him again.
Amen.
Are you lacking? Are you broken? No, don't get me wrong. Some of y'all are saying, oh, he's turning prosperity preacher on me. No, I'm actually for prosperity. I want us to prosper in the faith. I want us to grow in our faith. I want us to walk closer to Jesus. Christian, the way you truly prosper is not get a promotion on your job. The way you truly prosper is not to get the American dream. Get a boat, get a beach house, get a wave runner, you know, put a nice nest egg away. That's not really how you prosper. You can have all those things and not be prosperous. But how you truly prosper is walk with God.
Amen.
And you lean upon His promises and His trust. And trust in Him. I know there's a lot of anxiety in our congregation. I know because I deal with it. I deal with the same anxieties you do. I look at the news and I fret and I worry. I worry about the future of the congregation. I worry about what people are going through and their heartaches that they face. And you do the same. But I've learned, honestly, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself. But when we teach our children to talk, we repeat ourselves over and over till they repeat it back, don't we? So I repeat again. Let us trust Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus with that situation? Have you? Let's just be honest. No more playing games. No more getting up and taking your burdens out the door today. Let's be honest. Let's talk about the burdens and the baggage that you brought in. The struggles and the heartache. And the concern that you've got to hold it all together. This morning, have you asked Him again? Jesus, help me. Help me to deal with this spouse. Good Lord. Lord, help me to deal with them. Help me to deal with this family. Lord, we put the fun in dysfunctional. Lord, help me to deal Help me to deal with this job and this coworker. Lord, help me to deal with my loneliness. Lord, help me to deal with this addiction that nobody knows about but you. Lord, help me. Give me strength. Lord, help me with this guilt that I just can't get off my hands and it's overwhelming. Help me. Have you asked Him again? If this unrighteous judge gives justice to this widow, how much more would the God of all creation, as we read in the book of Genesis chapter 18, as Abraham is walking with God and he says, will not the Lord of all the earth do what's right? Will you not do what's right? Maybe this morning you're saying, I've asked Him again and He hadn't done it. I keep asking Him and He won't do it. I want to tell you that the Bible tells us in the book of James, James chapter 5, that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That you have a righteous prayer. Maybe you're not praying a righteous prayer. Maybe you're praying for somebody else's husband. Ooh, I said it, yeah. Many times we ask amiss. We ask for the things that we shouldn't ask for. We're like toddlers. Can I have rock candy for breakfast? Can I have candy all the time? Can I? No. You cannot have pancakes every meal. You can't drink syrup all the time. You can't have chocolate milk 24/7. It's going to rot your teeth out, give you diabetes, and your feet will rot off and you'll go blind. That's what we say as adults. But we as immature Christians, we stomp our feet and we ask God for stupid stuff. I want a BMW. Well, you can't handle the BMW payment, so you don't need a BMW. You need to pay your lot bill. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So thank you, brother. Thank you. they're beating y'all. This morning, sometimes we ask for silly things, and our God who knows better. And sometimes when He says no, we're like, God's mad at me. Doesn't He know better? And some of us would say, thank God for unanswered prayers. And ain't just a country song. It's the truth. Thank you, God, for not answering that. At that time, I didn't see. Thank you for knowing better than me.
Amen.
This is not a chastisement. This is to get you to pray what Jesus prayed. Even though Jesus was the second member of the Holy Trinity, fully God and fully man, He actually prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Do you pray that? Or are you too scared of God to say, no, God, I don't want you to do your will. I want you to do mine. Here's what I want. This is the checklist. You need to go through this. Do this, this, and this, and this is how you do it. Are you afraid to pray, God, you know more than me. You know better than me. So God, you take the situation. You work it out however fit. If it means that I got to apologize, I apologize. But Lord, teach me and show me. Have you asked Him again? Let's just get to the point. Have you asked Him at all? You talked about it. You've cried over it. You talked to a therapist. You've told anybody who will stop long enough to hear you. You've wrote about it. You sent emails about it. You put it on different websites, getting advice. You've been on Facebook, MySpace, if you're old school. You've been everywhere. You've talked about it. You've lost sleep over it. You wrote a book about it. You read books about it. But have you prayed about it? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Jesus says, when I come back, will there be anybody who prays like this? Will there be anybody? Will I find anybody who prays this way? He leaves it open. So we get the answer. We get to answer today. We get to decide today the answer to this text. Some of you will say, yeah, I pray like that. I'm starting today. I'm going to start praying like that today. I'm just going to believe God is able. I'm going to believe God is strong. If you find yourself struggling in your faith, if you find yourself not receiving the voice of God in your life, if you find yourself wobbling in your faith, you find yourself weak and you succumb to any kind of temptation, any kind of little light breeze that comes your way in affliction, and you find yourself folding, it's because you're not in God's Word and you're not in church. Woo! If you find yourself saying, well, God don't answer my prayers and He don't talk to me. That's like saying I don't receive any texts because my phone's off. You're not picking up your Bible and you're not receiving what God has said to you. You're not coming to church and hearing about a God who's faithful, who walks with you through it all. Not that He preserves you and keeps you out of the wilderness, but He's going to walk with you through the wilderness. Why else would Psalm 23 be written that He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death? He walks with you through those things. He's not going to keep you out of those things. He's going to walk with you. He danced in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. He was there. And He'll be with you with whatever you're facing. Just look back over the last I've only been here seven years and a couple of days. We just look back over the last 7 years. Look at what God has done and how He's kept you that time. And He'll do it again. Amen. Have you asked Him again? God, help me. Strengthen me. Guide me. Somebody this morning is going to do it for the first time. Somebody's going to start again. Somebody's going to pray again. Somebody's going to be encouraged again. And this is a good day to start. I ain't prayed in a long time. I haven't been praying like I ought to. It sure is a good day to start. Don't you agree? Let's begin right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, this morning, I asked Miss Becky to come up, Brother Danny to get ready. This morning, Father, as we bow our heads, somebody's praying to You for the first time in a long time. This morning, somebody's coming to You with their situation yet again. It's me again, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's somebody who's asking again. Lord, it's a threat in my household when my children ask me something over and over, and I say, ask me again. But Lord, it's not a threat. This morning, as we look in the text, it's a promise. This morning, if we need peace, ask Him again. If we need hope, let us ask Him again. If we need understanding, let us ask Him again. And Lord, we don't have to crawl our way to the altar this morning. We can make an altar right there in our pew. We can make an altar behind the steering wheel in our car, as long as we keep our eyes open if we're driving, Lord. But Lord, whatever, wherever, Lord, let us pray and ask You again. Help us in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And Lord, when we don't have a prayer on our tongue and our words are hollow from our heart, pray over us. And for the one who needs to hear it this morning, when you don't feel like praying, continue to pray until you feel like you do. So Father, change our hearts and our minds, because only You can do that. Help our spirits and our souls this morning. Help us to be people who pursue and love You. And Lord, for the ones who lack faith this morning, give them the faith that they're lacking. Give them the peace that they can't find anywhere else. For the one who hadn't been praying, Lord, let them begin praying here today. For You're the God who provides. You're the God who helps. You're the God who heals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up this morning. Grab your hymnal as we close. Brother Danny.
Listen to the sweet words of number 92.